Welcome to MBA Podcaster, the only broadcast source for cutting-edge information and advice on the MBA application process. I'm Janet Nakano. According to recent compensation surveys, MBA salaries are on the rise.
The highest increase was in Western Europe, where we saw a 7% increase. That compared to a 4% increase in North America.
That's good news for MBAs. GMAC reported that the average MBA starting salary in 2007 ranged between $80,000 to $85,000 a year, not including bonuses. But many factors can influence how much you'll actually make. Years of experience, location, industry, function, and region are just a few things that can significantly raise or lower your MBA salary. Join us as we explore MBA salaries, how to properly determine how much you can earn, and how to have realistic expectations. You'll hear from GMAC, TopMBA.com, PayScale.com, and MBA Career Management Directors. TopMBA.com conducts an annual compensation survey where they ask between 400 and 600 recruiters how much they offer to new MBA hires. For 2007, the average salary across North America and Europe was $93,400, up from $90,500 last year. Latin America averaged at $69,000, Asia Pacific $71,000, and Eastern Europe came in at $41,000. Nunzio Quacquarelli is editor of TopMBA.com. He says salaries also differ by country.
For example, within Europe, salaries in the UK are coming in at $108,000 a year, whereas in France it's $97,000, Germany $89,000, and then as low as Greece, which is part of the European Union, where average salaries are $43,000. So by region and by country, there are big variations.
Quacquarelli says emerging markets as well show wide ranges in salaries.
If you were to go to a country like Croatia, which doesn't have many developed industries, then even a very, very well-educated person who has a good MBA would struggle to earn more than $30,000 in Croatia. Or if you look at Asia, then there are countries like Japan that are paying North American salaries. But if you were to get a job in Vietnam, you'd be struggling to find a salary above $20,000. Or even in India, although there's a lot of inflation in India now, the majority of MBAs who are working in India for a domestic Indian company would be expected to be earning between $15,000 and $25,000.
Both TopMBA.com and GMAC report on starting MBA salaries, but how are MBAs faring 5, 10, and 20 years out? PayScale.com is an online salary survey where individuals enter their own compensation information and can find out how their salaries compare to others in the same position. PayScale has gathered data from more than 100,000 MBAs. Ali is PayScale's Director of Quantitative Analysis.
Typically, beginning MBAs, generally junior ones, people have gotten an MBA early in their career, so they've only been in a field for 1 to 4 years and have gotten an MBA. On average, median in the U.S. for salary, not counting bonuses and so forth, make around $55,000 in the U.S., which sounds kind of low, but you have to think of all the places you can get a degree, and these are people who are still early in their career. 5 to 10 year range, they're making kind of around $75,000. That range. 10 to 20 years, it goes up to kind of 93,000. And then people who have been in a field for 20 years or more, whether it be any of the possible areas of specialization an MBA might be in, if they've been out there for 20 years and have an MBA, they typically make over $100,000 a year.
Lee says those are national averages. According to PayScale's data, work experience is clearly a major factor that influences salary. Rachel Edgington is GMAC's Director of Market Research and Analysis. She says GMAC's salary surveys reveal that many more factors affect compensation.
What really drives salary are two things. One is individual, the individual themselves. their prior work experience dominates the salary that they're going to receive, but also the choices they make in their company when they're choosing to go with an employer. For instance, if they make a trade-off for job security, they're more likely to have a lower salary. But if they're accepting a job because of high visibility to the executive team, they're more likely to make a higher salary. So some of it is personal preferences in their job, but most of it is their prior work experience. And then the other aspect that drives salary is the employers themselves. Definitely driven by industry, the nonprofit are going to pay lower salaries than, say, consulting or finance. Organizational size has a lot to do with it, and this has to do with how much they're able to pay. Large companies are able to pay higher salaries than smaller companies. Companies that recruit MBAs actively, so they have a formal recruiting program, pay higher salaries than organizations that might hire an MBA but not actively recruit them. And then obviously the region that the employer is located in affects salary.
PayScale's Al Lee says the job you do is another big differentiator in how much you make.
If you're a CFO, right, at a company, it's not atypical to be earning just your average CFO, and this will be at ones also at companies of 100 people, 200 people. It turns out, if you think about it, most executives actually work at small companies because that's where most of the jobs are. So everybody always knows about the CFO at Microsoft making a tremendous amount of money, but the average CFO works at a company of 150 people or so, and they'll be making a salary, say, of around $125,000 a year. Generally, on the median MBA, which now we're talking about someone who's making around $80,000 or so, whether they work at a for-profit company, a private practice or firm, even at a hospital or the federal government, the pay doesn't vary a lot. You know, it's 75, it's 77, it's $80,000 a year. However, if they decide to work at a nonprofit organization, the typical pay drops down to $63,000 a year. And that's not surprising, right? And similarly, if they decide to work at a state or local or a college or university, the pay is also down in the $55,000 to $60,000 a year range.
Industries that are mainstays for MBAs are strategy consulting and investment banking. Quacquarelli says in these industries, you can earn well above the average.
So, for example, the consulting industry came in with an average salary of about $98,000 US, and investment banking was very similar at about $98,000, $99,000 US. They also tend to pay much higher bonuses than other industries. So investment banking, for example, reported an average bonus of $42,000. So that meant if you got a job within an investment bank in 2007, your total compensation would have been over $140,000 US. So it's for a fresh MBA, that's one of the most attractive compensation packages in the history of the MBA. And consulting would have been slightly lower than that. The average bonus in the consulting industry would have been a little over $25,000 US. But those industries are paying more than other sectors, and interestingly, they are paying similar levels wherever you join them in the world. Because they're global companies, they tend to move people around, so they don't have the same differentials.
Support for MBA Podcaster comes from Manhattan GMAT, the world's largest GMAT-exclusive test preparation provider. Developed by Ivy League education professionals and continually updated to reflect current trends, Manhattan GMAT's advanced curriculum goes beyond teaching the tricks and focuses on in-depth content understanding as well. All programs are taught by highly trained and experienced instructors with GMAT scores of 750 or better. Visit ManhattanGMAT.com/MBA Podcaster to explore program options including a two-week intensive boot camp, private tutoring, and 9-session courses offered in a classroom setting or online through a live interactive platform. MBA Podcaster listeners will receive a $100 discount on Manhattan GMAT programs by using the code PODCAST2006 when enrolling for courses. Visit ManhattanGMAT.com/MBA Podcaster to enroll and receive your discount. Manhattan GMAT, the new standard in GMAT preparation.
Cost of living is an important factor when evaluating salaries. Quacquarelli says you can have a good quality of life on below-average salaries in certain countries.
I do a lot of MBA admissions presentations at the World MBA Tour, and I deliver these presentations around the world. And I always look at these sort of crestfallen faces when I'm in a room in Buenos Aires and I have to tell the audience that the average MBA salary in Argentina is only $55,000 a year, and it's $90,000 a year in America. But then I say, but if you actually take into account cost of living, yeah, if you come back to Argentina and earn $55,000 a year, you are going to be a lot better off than the MBA who's living in a pokey flat in New York earning $90,000 a year. The reality is that MBAs in emerging markets often are much better off, even on these lower salaries in nominal terms.
One other note on New York City, payscale.com has a cost of living calculator, and Al Lee says he found some interesting data when he compared New York to Chicago.
It turns out the median MBA in Chicago makes about $90,000 a year, and the median MBA in New York City makes about $101,000 a year. So you say, oh, okay, you get 10, cost of living difference between New York and Chicago, you're getting paid a little bit more than 10% extra. But then if you actually go to a cost of living calculator, according to, standard comparisons of rents, and if you want a 1,200 square foot apartment and you want to compare and so forth, it turns out New York City costs about 90% more than Chicago to live in. So I always find this fascinating because at one level, everyone should move to Chicago because you can get so much more for the same money, and yet people still like to live in New York.
European companies often pay MBAs in ways other than the base salary. Jessica Austin is Director of Career Development and Alumni at RSM Erasmus in the Netherlands. She says MBAs in Europe are offered a number of secondary benefits.
In the Netherlands and Belgium and some other countries in mainland Europe, they'll have vacation pay. And what this is a guaranteed percentage of income that will be added to their salary. In the Netherlands, it's usually around 8%. So, for example, I know that in May, 8% will be added on to my paycheck that month. Other forms of monetary compensation, which are guaranteed, which aren't included in these base salaries, are what they call a 13th and a 14th month. So even though we're only working 12 months a year, there will be a 13th month payment added into a paycheck. This is very standard in the Netherlands, even in the offer letters. It's discussed if there will be a 13th and 14th month. Almost always there's a 13th month. So it is a form of guaranteed payment, but because of the way that it's paid, it is not considered to be part of the base salary package.
Austin says for these secondary benefits, MBAs are encouraged to negotiate the terms.
For example, our MBA students at RSM, almost all of them are not local Dutch citizens, so most of them are coming from other countries. These students, we advise, if they're looking to negotiate their package, to ask the companies to consider a relocation package. Even though they've been living in the Netherlands for the entire time they've been studying, they probably didn't move all of their belongings to the Netherlands because they were not sure that they would be staying here. So factoring in a relocation is pretty standard. That is something that is able to be negotiated in. Also, tuition reimbursement or the forms of sign-on bonuses is something that companies in Europe, many companies in Europe, don't automatically offer, but are willing to do so when the candidate brings it up. So I would actually advise that people always look at the secondary benefits and think about what could be added on there. And we do see a lot of negotiations happening on the secondary benefit side.
Earning $93,000 your first year out of business school can be enticing for those considering an MBA degree. But not all MBAs make that much. Quacquarelli says expected salaries are always higher than actual salaries.
I mean, this year the average salary expectation was for salaries of roughly $100,000 US a year compared to our average of $93,000 US. So it's human nature to maybe want a little bit more than the reality. But we have a lot of recruiters now saying to us that there's beginning to be a problem and that many MBAs are coming out of good business schools with completely the wrong expectations. They hear about someone joining an investment bank who's earning $140,000 US a year, and they think that irrespective of which industry or which geography they go to work in, they should be earning somewhere between $100,000 and $140,000 US. And it's not the case. If you're joining a manufacturing company in Minnesota and you're 26 years old, so you've got 1 or 2 years work experience, the chances are that you're going to be offered about $75,000 US. So if you have an expectation of $110,000, that's a big mismatch.
Tom Kozicki is executive director of the MBA Career Center at UCI Paul Mirage School of Business and is also president of the MBA Career Services Council, an organization that sets standards in the reporting of employment data by business schools. He says inflated expectations are likely the result of misinterpreted information.
The standards in those schools that abide by the standards for reporting full-time salary data are required to do a couple of things. One, they have to report on a minimum of 80% of their class, and they have to have 85% of that 80% reporting providing salary information. So it is a very good representative sample. I think where people get a little bit lost or confused in the data is that they tend to look at the overall aggregated average instead of taking a look at the breakouts for the different industry sectors and for the major functional areas, taking a look at the ranges, taking a look at the medians, and then taking a look at what the profile is of the incoming classes at the school. So an individual perhaps has maybe 1 to 2 years of limited work experience and goes to a school where their average work experience may be 5 years, are going to find that their salary opportunities probably aren't going to be as great upon graduation simply because the market isn't going to value their experience the same way it would if someone had 5 years of work experience.
GMAC reports that part-time MBAs earn roughly $80,000 to $85,000 a year, the same as those from full-time programs. And executive MBAs earn between $105,000 and $122,000 a year. Kozicki says it's important to note that part-time and executive MBA salary information is harder to quantify.
The reason why is that the impact that the MBA may have on an individual's employment may not take place within the time period that the student is attending school. With full-time programs, students stop out of the workforce and then they start back in again after graduation, so it's much easier to measure. Where with executive and part-time programs, they may see a promotion halfway through the program, they may see something upon graduation, they may see something a year after graduation. So you don't see as many schools reporting that kind of information simply because it's more difficult to quantify. And the MBA Career Services Council has yet to develop standards, agree upon standards for reporting that information. It's something that we're looking into now because of the tremendous growth that we've seen in those programs, but there is no standard way of reporting that information currently.
At payscale.com, you can find out how you're faring with others in your field by completing their online survey. And Ali says it's a pretty easy process.
Basically, what you do is when you first arrive at the homepage of payscale.com, you'll see some radio buttons, and what you want to select is if you currently have an MBA and you currently have a job and you're wondering how that compares with people like you, you would select I'm currently an employee and go through. And at that point, we'll ask you questions like what is your current job, how long have you been in the field, who's your employer, what industry are they in, how big is the company, and as you might imagine, all the kind of questions down there, including where you got your degree and so forth. And so it takes you can do it in as few as a couple of minutes. At the end, you will get to a report, and all the reports are free, where you can see how your pay compares with other people who do jobs similar to you. At that point, you can actually then decide, for example, if you don't currently have an MBA, you can go and ask the question, well, what if I had an MBA? How much more would it be paid? And we have a what-if scenario section where you can go ahead and change those factors and see what happens. There's another thing we have on our site, which we call GigZig, which lets you see what kind of jobs lead to jobs later. We ask people what job they had been doing 5 years previously. So the question is, if you want to become a CFO, what job should you do, you know, when you first get your MBA? Because clearly very few CFOs are out there doing it with less than kind of 10 years experience in the field. So you go to college, you then go right and get an MBA, 24 years old. You want to become a CFO, what path should you take? That tool, GigZig, G-I-G-Z-I-G, is actually kind of very interesting to kind of see that path that you might get to the job you're interested in.
MBA salaries are on an upward trend. And Nunzio Quacquarelli says he sees some exciting areas of growth.
The highest increase was in Western Europe, where we saw a 7% increase. And that compared to a 4% increase in North America and a 4% increase overall, so reasonable but not explosive growth in MBA salaries. The up-and-coming industries are probably media and technology. I think that technology obviously had a huge slowdown after the 2000 crash, and we are seeing quite big increases in the number of people being hired into media and technology companies now. Regionally, I think that there are probably three regions around the world which are really, really vibrant. They're none of the traditional markets. Probably the most vibrant market is Dubai, which takes a lot of people by surprise, but it's going through an incredible boom. The second region would be Russia, where there's an oil and raw materials boom, and again, salaries are rising significantly, and the demand is very, very strong. And then the third area, which is the China-India subcontinents in Asia, where they're going through consistent economic growth of between 8 and 10% a year, and as a consequence, salaries are rising, but from a very low base. So in China and India, an MBA might still expect to only be earning $25,000 a year, but it could quite easily be the case that their salaries will increase to $30,000-$35,000 a year over the next 12 months because the level of inflation is very high.
Support for MBA Podcaster comes from Manhattan GMAT, the world's largest GMAT-exclusive test preparation provider. Developed by Ivy League education professionals and continually updated to reflect current trends, Manhattan GMAT's advanced curriculum goes beyond teaching the tricks and focuses on in-depth content understanding as well. All programs are taught by highly trained and experienced instructors with GMAT scores of 750 or better. Visit ManhattanGMAT.com/MBA Podcaster to explore program options including a two-week intensive boot camp, private tutoring, and 9-session courses offered in a classroom setting or online through a live interactive platform. MBA Podcaster listeners will receive a $100 discount on Manhattan GMAT programs by using the code PODCAST2006 when enrolling for courses. Visit ManhattanGMAT.com/MBA Podcaster to enroll and receive your discount. Manhattan GMAT, the new standard in GMAT preparation.
For more information, advice, and to register for your weekly MBA podcast, visit MBAPodcaster.com. I'm Janet Nakano, and this is MBA Podcaster. Thanks for listening, and join us next time on another topic to help you in your MBA application process and life beyond.